position of the human race has improved in the last 1,000 years, not got worse. Your chances of dying a violent death now, if you're a male in the world, is about 0.0004%, whereas 1,000 years ago it was 15%. 15% of men died of violent death. So it's not as bad as it's often portrayed in, for instance, just to grab an example, August journals like the Daily Mail. So that was really what inspired Eugene Gardiner. It's a vision of a technologically advanced but very gentle and sustainable society where the population is reduced, which is not impossible, where the technology, where they don't burn anything to make anything else. So the technology is advanced to such a degree that you don't need to consume consumables in order to live in a civilized way. I wrote the book as a standalone book, and I came up with this, what I thought, genius, dramatic ending. And it's been responded to very, very well. I've had a lot of wonderful comments about it. One very bad review on the Amazon website, but that is balanced by 23 really good ones, so I'm not worried about that. And I agree with the review in some ways. But one of the things that drove everybody mad was the ending. I thought, I've done this brilliant ending, but they always said, what is this? And I truly hadn't written this book with the idea of writing a sequel, but soon became very apparent that it's not a bad idea. So I'm now really in the early stages of writing a sequel. I don't think I can read, I've cut it short out, it's much too long to read. I will try and describe what it is. So the protagonist from this book is an engineer and a scientist from this era. He leaves our world in 2011, and he arrives in 2211, which initially he thinks is the time, 2211. And he's a bit nerdy. He's got just a pinch of Asperger's. And my wife said, "You've just written an autobiography." Well, I call her, but insightful. And he doesn't really develop as an emotional being in the first book, but in the second book he really does. So in the second book he arrives in a world. He leaves the first world. I won't bore you with the boogie-boogie science fiction stuff. He just flies through a cloud in an electrically powered airplane. Normal stuff. And when he comes out the other side, it's a very different world. He's expecting to come back to us here, but he doesn't. He goes somewhere else. Where he lands is effectively London, but it's a London that has changed into an unrecognizable degree. Because where we are now, it's fairly beautiful. We'll probably be on the coast somewhere. Yeah, there'll be a massive inland sea. That's going to happen whatever happens. The sea is going to rise and the middle of London is going to become a very nice, picturesque inland sea, which is what's happening. This is talking 200 years' time. And so London has spread out over the whole of South England. It's all London. It's run by a mayor. It's a city state. It's no longer a country. And the whole world is, the city is it goes around squares. But when I say squares, I don't mean some chintzy Georgian little square. I'm talking sort of Central Park-sized squares. In the middle, there's a lot of agriculture, open space, communal areas. It's very, very like David's utopian books. So many things you were talking about, I went, oh, that's in the book. So it's a vision of how the world could work, where there's a huge population, where the population is expanding enormously, but the political structures have changed dramatically. And one of the main things he realises, which is a bit of a reason,
I think you heard enough,
is that the society